The city council also has, as I have mentioned in the past, closed sessions. And it had a closed session on Tuesday. But before the closed session, thanks to some of us who insist on this happening, they have to hear a kind of public comment section on the items on the closed session. And the mayor, or the Führer, as some have taken to calling Mayor Fitzmaurice, I actually began to call him Emperor Fitzmaurice, but as I said, he sometimes seems to behave and have an attitude more like a kind of a dour, Führer-esque kind of attitude that I associate with the famous German chancellor of ill repute in Germany. Not, again, as I say, that Councilmember Fitzmaurice is genocidal. I mean, I suppose it's cruel, it's class-based, it is expensive, and it is stupid to leave homeless people in a position where they can't shelter themselves or sleep in a vehicle because you think that your West Side neighbors might object. And that, of course, is what Mayor Fitzmaurice's big deal is on this issue, I think. However, I guess that's not genocide. That's just telling the poor to get out of town. There's a distinction there, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, everybody out there. By the way, the phone lines are open, in spite of any hum you may hear on the air. I certainly hear it in the studio here. And it's at 427-3772. You will find us if you wish to give us a call. Now, this closed session of City Council that I mentioned, this one happened at 1:30 on Tuesday, and usually it's kind of difficult for those of us who aren't allowed to go, for example, into the City Council offices because the mayor has gotten his administrative assistant, Anna Brooks, to bar us with a court order. Which we'll be taking to court, I remind you, on the 31st of January, next Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning. Come on down to Department 7 and join the assertion of the need for democratic rights. The more people in that courtroom, the better. But because of that injunction, we can't go to what's called Room 10. We, as myself, Bernard Klitzner, and Becky Johnson, the three criminals of the City Council Coffee Clatch and Tag Team Teach-In. That's the folks that were essentially peacefully sitting in the public foyer of the mayor's and City Council offices, open to the public, 9 to 5, with an hour break for lunch, or 8 to 5, actually, essentially there to talk to council members, read the literature, read the information in the files that they have there, and encourage members of the public to join us to ask the City Council to get off its duff while in the midst of this freezing rain and cold and winter weather to deal with the fact that only 160 out of 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people have any legal shelter at night, and there's a $54 sleeping ban fine for those who the police choose to ticket. And we were told we can't come back to Room 10. And we're, of course, challenging that in court on the 31st, on Wednesday at 8:30. But here, normally in Room 10, they hold the closed sessions of City Council. So what are we going to do? We were told we can go to public meetings. We were told we can go to the offices other than Room 10 on public business. Our attorney said, don't go to Room 10. That's a violation of the injunction, or they can say that if they want. We couldn't get the city attorney to put in writing, you can come to this meeting. So instead, what happened was, apparently, they moved the meeting to the larger City Council chambers, where normally City Council meetings are held, but not closed sessions. Closed sessions, as is befitting their closed nature, are held in a little back room, the City Council Room 10, City Manager's Office, conference room area, actually. Anyway, we got there, and here is what happened. You get to hear some discussion. It was all about the Lee property. That's the Lee Apartments, the apartments that out of whom came the fighters for their rights, the Residentes Unidos people, mostly Lee residents, some Dolphin apartment residents, who told City Council, we don't want your damn project unless you can assure us that we will be allowed back into it and that there will be enough for everybody. You know, pretty straightforward stuff. But it's something that old Keith Sugar, our former mayor, just couldn't get his hands around, really. I mean, he made a few attempts, but then he started passing the buck, misrepresenting the situation, and voting with the majority. And indeed, on July 25th, he voted with everybody else to drop the Lee property from the whole discussion and focus on the Dolphin, because the Dolphin was less well-organized, and they had already essentially been gone through by the relocation experts that the city had hired, and they were able to get the dolphin owner to sell them the property, and actually it was sold to Mercy Charities Housing because they wanted to make it more into a more private deal that had less public accessibility. But now the Lee property is appearing again on the agenda, even though it's not supposed to be there, unless it is, that happens in an open session, because at the open session they said it's not going to be on the agenda anymore until there's some future situation, and that should come back to the open agenda. But this is not an open council. We have a phone call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi. Hey, this is Todd with Pat and Sell Productions.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a local promoter.
Right.
And I've done some work with you guys in the past.
Have you been listening to the show?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Anyway, you know, when are you guys doing your next hardcore format?
You know, I can't tell you that, but let me give you a number to call. You should call the voicemail at 427-4523. This is a sort of a local politics show, and I don't really keep tabs on that kind of stuff.
427. Hang on.
That's the voicemail for Free Radio Santa Cruz.
427-4523. 4523.
Right. Now
okay.
All righty. So you're on the air right now. We're talking right now on the air, so I really want to...
All right. No problem.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
And again, no problem with call-ins, but I do like them kind of to be relevant to what we're talking about, or at least the general subject of civil rights for poor people, and that was why I'm rushing along here, particularly because the next talk show host, Uncle Dennis, is a terror on wheels. You've got to get out of the studio lickety-split when that man shows up with his Earth First show, which I recommend, by the way, worth listening to. Of course, mine is always better, but that's another story. Anyway, here's the closed session, talking again, where some of us tried to say, look, don't go after these apartments with Hispanic people in them and with poor people in them unless you're prepared to offer them at least the same housing or better than that currently exists. If you're just going to drive them away for a project for a lesser number of people, don't do it. And here is a little bit of that discussion.
Okay, a couple of things that are actually on the closed agenda, I think I want to talk to you about briefly. A1, 124, 126 Lee Brandt. This, of course, is the Lee property. And I'm concerned, again, about the process. This item reappears after having been essentially removed from the agenda in an open session of the Redevelopment Agency on July 25th. Suddenly, you guys are talking about it in private at a second session, and I don't think that that is really appropriate. I think if you're having an open process, you should first bring it to the open session of the Redevelopment Agency, and from there, certainly, into private negotiations. I think that that's a part of the open process. So that's a concern of mine about the very appearance of this item. A couple items not appearing on this agenda also concern me, which have... It's actually related to an item that is appearing, which is the David Silva suit. David Silva's lawsuit against you, which concerns...
And I should say that at this point, Mayor Fitzmaurice cut me off and said, I can't talk about items not on the agenda, which in fact is a sort of a new deal, because usually at oral communications, you do talk about items that are not on the agenda. In the special oral communications session for closed session, you talk about items that are both not on the agenda, and you also have to talk about items that are on the agenda, because you cannot be there when those agenda items come up, because the sessions are closed to the public. Mayor Fitzmaurice has decided, of course, not to allow that to happen, and so I continued trying to say what I could.
His being dragged away he's the head of the Housing and Homelessness Committee of SCAN. He was going to speak on issues around the Dolphin Lee when he was dragged off by a directive apparently from Mayor Sugar at the time on a 5150. And then released 2 hours later as completely sane. It was a bogus arrest. It was a false arrest. Attorney Kate Wells filed this suit at the same time as she filed two incidents on my behalf, which don't appear on this agenda, and I wonder about the selective process involved there, since they all appeared at the same time. I would like to be able to speak, Mayor. In essence, I also would like to point out to you some items that, some aspects of the Lee situation that are referred to in the news story in the Sentinel of yesterday. have a letter that covers these concerns that you can examine. Unfortunately, I only have one copy of it. It was sent to Seal Cirillo. I CC'd it to Councilmember Porter and City Manager Dick Wilson earlier today. I think perhaps the council member has received it. I'll pass it on to the entire council for their consideration. I want to thank you for appearing in these chambers and giving us an opportunity to speak, though, had you not sought an injunction against us, there would be no need to do that. I think it's relevant. And I thank you for your time and hope that you have a pleasant closed session.
Hi, I'm Becky Johnson. I'm concerned about what you may be discussing about the Lee property at this closed session. As you had dropped the Lee from consideration as part of this project last summer, it strikes me as a divide and conquer strategy that you were going to first pick off the easier Dolphin property and then tackle the Lee property when they're standing alone. It seems as though you made a political choice to discourage or oppose tenant organization, and I really think you're off the track on that, that the city should be encouraging the tenants to organize amongst themselves. I'm concerned that the Dolphin Lee project, first it's a project, then it's not a project. Then it's a project again. And as I speak now, it's not a project. And I predict tomorrow it will be a project again. Why this roller coaster route unless all is not above board? Huff advocates the city to take an active role in increasing affordable housing. The city greatly needs more affordable housing. But this project doesn't do that. This project, if you include the Lee, will destroy 63 units of housing. You've already destroyed 15 units, and it will build only 48 units. I'm also disheartened that this council did not vote in specific relocation and return guarantees for the Dolphin tenants. And if you choose to seek the Lee property, Huff would continue to advocate for those relocation return guarantees. It doesn't have to do whether a person has a criminal record or whether they have a bad credit rating. The issue is that they currently have housing, and it is currently affordable. But what this project, any time that you destroy housing where people currently have housing, then you have an undue responsibility to make sure that those people continue housing somewhere, and not in Fremont either. Thank you for listening to me.
But of course they weren't listening to Becky Johnson or to me. And we have a caller.
Hi, you're on Fear Radio.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Scott Graham. So what do you got to say in the last 10 minutes of our show here?
Well, you wanted me to call and talk about this PG&E hoax that's going on right now.
Sure, or if you want to say anything more about the Dolphin Lee hoax, we got hoaxes aplenty here.
Right, or the police safety grant hoax.
Yes, it's Hoax City, as you might say.
Right.
Mayor Hoax, Hoax Morris.
I thought it was Fuhrer Hoax Morris.
Some would say Emperor, some would say Fuhrer, some would say Mayor, some would say hopefully just private citizen Fitzmaurice one of these days. But, whatever you want to talk about, go for it.
Okay, well, as far as I can see with this so-called power crisis that we have, this was completely orchestrated by the power companies themselves. Well, we had Pete Wilson as governor. They spent many years lobbying him and lobbying the state legislature and drawing up all of these bogus reports that show that deregulation was the way to go. With deregulation, that they would get, the power bills would actually go down by 10% for everybody in the state. Knowing full well that this was all a bunch of hogwash, they pushed this stuff through and the state bought it and made it a law. now that it's happened, lo and behold, the price of energy has gone way up. The companies like PG&E and Southern California Edison are claiming that they're broke and they're actually on the verge of bankruptcy, but their parent companies, many of whom contributed heavily to George W. Bush and to Al Gore, they contributed to both their campaigns, are shielded from, if PG&E goes bankrupt, its parent company doesn't go bankrupt. It's shielded from being, their assets being drained or anything by PG&E going bankrupt. And they're actually making money off of PG&E by selling power to PG&E. The other thing is that there's a bunch of plans to build power plants, I think 30 or more in the state of California. There's plans on the drawing board. They're going to use this phony power shortage to push through a bunch of environmentally insensitive plans, plans that normally probably wouldn't even see the light of day because of the environmental consequences involved. But what will happen is even once they do environmental impact reports and it's shown that they can't mitigate all of the potential bad environmental things, they'll just cite overriding considerations. In other words, we need the electricity, we have to build these power plants, and the environment be gone. You know, it's like, so there's a whole litany of reasons why this happened. And the other day there was actually a person that testified before the state senate subcommittee that's investigating this whole thing. And it was a woman who's one of the leaders of this group that's fighting these power increases and is telling people to not pay this 9%, deduct the 9% from your bill and don't pay it. And she told the legislature she thought the whole thing was a hoax, that it was just orchestrated by the power companies to get even more money. I mean, they've already paid for all their equipment. They've already paid for all their stuff hundreds of times over. But they even want more of our money. You know, it's just it's an incredible money grab.
What's the city of Santa Cruz, the city government's position on this? Has it been standing in any way to against the power company power grab?
Not really. All they're doing is trying to, like, you know, limit their own use of power. You know, because, you know, cities and schools and, you know, various other government organizations are going to end up paying tremendous power bills. You know, I mean, they already do, but like once the price increase happens, their power bills are going to skyrocket. And so a lot of, you know, the city of Santa Cruz has got this voluntary 10% reduction in power use in all their offices and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how well that's, you know, been put into effect, who knows?
Well, I know that some cities, I know the Bay Guardian in San Francisco has always pushed for municipalization of power in San Francisco, given that San Francisco has this special Hetch Hetchy deal where it's supposed to be getting power free from Hetch Hetchy, but PG&E has kind of co-opted the whole scene.
Well, what happened with Hetch Hetchy, which is a quagmire unto itself, was that they built that not only to supply water to San Francisco, but also for power. And then they decided, well, it would be actually easier to just get the power from PG&E, and the power from Hetch Hetchy will go to the Central Valley. And basically, it just goes to the Central Valley Water Authority, and they use it to pump water to Southern California.
Well, my question is, locally, is there any... Well, actually, let me sort of write thinnest to that particular topic, saying, because we're coming up on the top of the hour. We got about 3 minutes left. You were at the city council meeting on Tuesday for much of it. We've covered a few things like the grants for the cops, for the bike cops, and for overruns for the police station and the Dolphin lease sellout. There are a couple other things that happened at that council session, including some discussion of the rent raises at 204 Lee Brandt Street. I'm sorry, Riverside Street. You want to comment on that? These are Beach Flats residents who are getting kicked around by landlord, I guess, what's his name, Martinez? Rodriguez, that's his name.
Well, a year and a half ago or longer, it was when the city was first stopped denying that there was a Dolphin Lee project, which they're back into denying again. But for a little while, they were saying that there was a, that they were, considering this project. So, mm-hmm. And at that time, they were holding meetings down in the trailer.
On the
beach flats. Right across the street was a big sign, 23 or whatever it was, 32 apartments for sale. We said, well, why not buy this place?
Because it was a willing seller.
It's a willing seller. It's obviously run down. It's, all the same conditions exist there that you're citing the need to buy these places. Why not buy this? They didn't buy it. Their reasoning for not buying it was that the site wasn't large enough to do anything with. The whole matter comes down to me is it doesn't matter about building something new. What about stabilizing what already exists? Stabilizing the rent, making the conditions there better, fixing things that in an already existing building.
Which is actually what they're doing in the Dolphin. They're actually now saying that they're not going to do a project there for at least 3 years, which will mean that Mercy Charities will be running it for 3 years as pretty much the building that it is. Quickly skipping, because we have about a minute left, the dreaded words rent control came up at City Council on Tuesday night from a speaker who said a new student organization was forming around rent control. Any final comments about that or anything else that happened at the council meeting in your remaining 20 seconds?
I mean, I thought it was, kind of absurd that Councilman Mark Primack, when this guy was talking about rent control, he said, well, are you going to go into rent control in the university? And the kid goes, no, And so it was like basically he was saying, well, if you're going to come and complain to us, you're going to have to go to them and complain too. We don't want to listen to you unless you're going to complain about everybody. And
this is Mark. I'm a conservative guy, Primack.
Right.
Yeah, I know him.
But
well, listen, I gotta wind it up here because the man has arrived without pesticides, but a pest he is to those in power who are trying to despoil the environment.
I mean, the only other thing I'd like to mention is about this $52.50 they're offering as the buyout for people in the Dolphin, and that was a number which they poo-pooed when we brought that number up.
Right, they said they had 42,000, and now suddenly they're back to 1/8 what they said before.
Right, so it's like,
they're trying to buy out the people on the cheap and send them back to wherever they want to go.
Right. But
just like Keith Sugar said, if you don't like it here, you can go back to Mexico. That was his famous statement. I got to go.
All right.
I'm off to Mexico.
Call me after the show.
Will do.
Bye.
And that's it for Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, the show that shows its broadside to your bathrobe if you happen to have one on. Come in again, so to speak, on Sunday. We'll be back at 11 with another edition of the beautiful BB Show. Until then, call 423-HUFF if you want to huff and puff at me. And listen to Uncle Dennis, and we will hopefully see you again. Are you ready to zip in here, Uncle Dennis?
Pretty much.
All right, guys.
Just
got to
get your tape out of there.
Will do.